Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It's May the 15th, and we are in Parshas Ekev. We are on page 988. We are in Perek Yud, chapter 10, Pasuk Vav, verse 6. We discussed last week we discussed the aftermath of the Egel and the golden calf, the second set of luchos of tablets. We talked about the Aron, the ark, the box in which they were put. I did make an error last week, which was pointed out to me after we finished the class last week, and that is that Moshe Rabbeinu did not take the box up the mountain with him. He took the tablets up the mountain with him and brought them down, but then immediately put them in the box when he got down the mountain. That was an error last week. It does not fundamentally change what we said, but that was a mistake in fact. Pasuk Vav, verse 6. Uvnei Yisrael nasu mi Be'eros b'nei Ya'akan Mosei Ra. The Jews traveled from Be'eros b'nei Ya'akan to Mosei Ra. Sham Meis Aaron, that's where Aaron died. Vayikaver Sham, he was buried there. Vayichahein Elazar beno Tachtav, and Elazar his son was made Kohen, meaning Kohen Gadol, in his place. Misham Nasu Hagud Goda, from there they traveled to Gudgod. Umina Gudgoda Yatvasa, and from there, from Gudgod to Yatvas, Eretz Nachale Mayim, a land of rivers of water. This is recounting Aaron's death. The way the Torah says it here is similar to the way the Torah said it back when we first learned it, which was not that long ago. It was in Parshas Chukas. And the Torah does the same thing here as it did there, which is that it tells us that Aaron died in Mosei Ra, which is not where he died. He actually died in Hor Hahar, on the mountain on top of a mountain. And here we seem to be learning about his death in another place. So how do we understand what happened over here? So we'll do the same thing that we did last time we brought this up, which is we'll hold the place here on page 988 and turn back to Parshas Maaseh, to the travels of the Jews at the end of Sefer Bamidbar. That is on page 920. On page 920, where it's going through the travels of the Jews. So it says in Pasuk Lamed, verse 30, Vayisume Chashmona, they traveled from Chashmona, Vayachanu b'Moseros, and they encamped in Moseros. Moseros and Mosera are the same place. So they encamped in Moseros. Vayisumi Moseros, they traveled from Moseros, Vayachanu b'Vnei Ya'akan, and they encamped in B'nei Ya'akan. Vayisum b'nei Ya'akan vayachanu b'chor ha-gidgad, and then they went from b'nei Ya'akan and they went to chor ha-gidgad, which is Gudgoda. Vayisum b'chor ha-gidgad vayachanu b'yatvasa. Then they got to Yatvas. So the order of the traveling is similar to what we just read over here, which is they went from Mosei Ra to I'm going back to page 988 where it says that they traveled they traveled from Be'eros B'nei Ya'akan to Mosei Ra, and then to Gudgod, and then to Yatvas. And here it says that they went from, it's true they went to Gudgod and then to Yatvas, but it reverses the order. It says in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, verse 31 on page 920, that they went from, from Moseros, from Mosera to B'nei Ya'akan. And here it says it in the reverse. They went from B'nei Ya'akan to Mosera. It is reversing the order of whether they went from B'nei Ya'akan to Mosera or Mosera to B'nei Ya'akan. Not only that, But Aaron doesn't die until later on. If you look on page 920, when it says in Pasuk, Lamed Zayin, verse 37, which is after the ones we just read, it says, Vayisumi Kadesh, they traveled from Kadesh, Vayachanu Behor Hahar, and they encamped on Hor Hahar, Biktsay Eretz Adom, the edge of the land of Adom, and then Aaron dies. Vayal Aaron HaKoin Al Hor Hahar, Api Hashem, Vayamas Sham. And Aaron, the Kohen, went up to Hor Hahar by the word of Hashem and died there in the 40th year. So, it does not seem to be accurate, both in terms of where Aaron died, and also the order of the traveling seems to be reversed over here in Parshas Ekev versus what it says in Parshas Maaseh. So to answer this, Chazal tell us, based on what happens immediately after Aaron's death, which is recounted on page 920 in Parshas Maaseh, but also earlier in Parshas Chukas, that immediately after Aaron died, we were attacked. Pasuk Mem on page 920, verse 40, Vayishma Kanani Melech Arad, Vuyoshev Vanegev Beretz Kanan Bavo Yisrael, and the king of Kanan, the Kanani, the king of Arad, the dwelling in the south, heard after Aaron died, he heard, and when we came by, and if you look back in Parshas Chukas, he attacked us. There was a war that was waged after Aaron's death. So Chazal explained that when Aaron died, the clouds disappeared, because the clouds were there in the merit of Aaron, and when he died, we lost the protection of the clouds of glory, which gave the king of Arad the idea that perhaps now the Jews are vulnerable and can be attacked. The king of Arad was not a Kanani, he was actually Amalek, but they were disguised as Kananim, and they attacked. It was the second time that Amalek attacked us. They had attacked us earlier, in the beginning of the 40 years, in Parashas Beshalach, and here they attack a second time. And they attack because of the fact that the clouds disappeared. Chazal explained the Jews got scared, and they ran away. The Jews were scared because of the attack of the king of Arad, and they turned around and ran back to Mitzrayim. And they went backwards 8 encampments, as they retraced their steps back towards Egypt. And when they got as far as Moserah, there was a civil war, because the Levim chased after the Jewish people to get them to not go back to Egypt. And there was a civil war. Many Jews were killed, some non-Levim, some Levim, but many Jews were killed. And when the Jews realized what the death of Aaron had caused, that not only did they lose Aaron, but they also got scared, they were attacked by Amalek, they ran away, and they ended up with a civil war that killed many Jews, they then understood the incredible loss of the tzaddik, and they eulogized the loss of Aaron all over again, as if he had just died there. And that's why it says over here on page 988 that Aaron died in Moserah, which is not where he died, but it's where they eulogized him. After that civil war that killed many Jews, they eulogized Aaron again. They had already eulogized him, but now they eulogized him again because it felt like they lost him all over again because it caused so much destruction when he, with the civil war following his death. That's also why it reverses the order of the traveling. It says in Pasuk Vav, verse 6, on page 988, that they traveled from Beiros Bnei Akon to Moserah, when in reality they traveled from Moserah to Beiros Bnei Akon. But this is because they went backwards. They were running back towards Egypt, and so they got as far as Moserah, which is where the Levim caught up with them and they had the civil war. So that is what is being taught over here. So now back where we're up to, which is now page 990, after that, the Civil War, and then they travel back again, they travel to Gudgod and to Yotvas, and that Moshe Rabbeinu is again recounting that terrible tragedy of the Civil War that took place. The question is why Moshe Rabbeinu is putting that here. Chronologically, the two incidents, the incident of the Egel Hazav, the golden calf, which is what he was just talking about, and this incident of Aaron's death and subsequent civil war, have nothing to do with each other chronologically. The incident of the golden calf, of course, took place the first year after we left Egypt, that same year, that summer, whereas Aaron's death and subsequent civil war took place in the last summer, in the 40th year after we left Egypt. And so why would Moshe Rabbeinu say it here, especially since it was very fresh in the Jews' mind? This whole lecture that Moshe Rabbeinu is delivering is in the beginning of Shvat, of the month of Shvat. The whole Sefer Devarim begins from the Rosh Chodesh Shvat, which is a month and 7 days prior to Moshe's death. And it goes on for a while, for many days, this lecture. And the incident, Aaron died on Rosh Chodesh of that year. So how many months later is that? From Av, you have Elul, Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, Teves, Shvat. So Moshe Rabbeinu's lecture takes place 6 months, precisely 6 months, after Aaron's death. The civil war took place after Aaron's death. So we're still within approximately 6 months of when that civil war happened. So Moshe Rabbeinu is lecturing the Jewish people about what happened 40 years earlier, which is the golden calf, and then he throws in this piece about Aaron's death and subsequent civil war. Why is he throwing it in here, and why would he have to bring it up? It happened so recently. They're all aware of this. This is not new news. They're still mourning the deaths of those who were killed in that war, of that civil war. So why does Moshe Rabbeinu throw it in over here? This question is posed by Chazal, and Rashi cites Chazal over here and says two things. Number one, it's to teach us that the death of a tzaddik is like the breaking of the luchos. Just as Moshe Rabbeinu just told the Jews about the breaking of the luchos, which is obviously a terrible tragedy, the death of a tzaddik is similar to the breaking of the luchos. That's the first point. And the second point is that the Jews, when they turned around and ran back to Egypt, that as far as Hashem was concerned, that was as, so to speak, painful to Hashem as much as when they worshipped the golden calf. Running back to Egypt, but going towards Egypt after the death of Aaron was kiviyachol, so to speak, as painful to Hashem as when the Jews worshipped the golden calf. And that's why this is mentioned over here. That's what Chazal tell us. I want to mention as an aside that my Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Weinberg Zechon HaRavracha, that's Rabbi Feldman's father-in-law, was Nifter. He passed away on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. His yard site is on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. Shiva Asar B'Tammuz is the day that the Luchos were broken. At his funeral, when they eulogized him, this Chazal was mentioned many times, that the death of a tzaddik is compared to the breaking of the luchos. He died on the day of the breaking of the luchos. So this is a Chazal that is very powerful to me, and something which I think about frequently because of the fact that it actually happened to my Rosh Yeshiva. So that's what Chazal tell us, that the reason why this is here is because of, we want to show, Hashem wants to show that the death of Aaron is like the breaking of the Luchos, and also that the Jews running back to Mitzrayim is as painful to Hashem, so to speak, as the day that they worship the golden calf. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nehyah Barah. It's still that it is specifically Aaron that we're talking about over here. Theoretically, if we wanted to discuss the fact that the death of a tzaddik is like the breaking of the luchos, the death of any tzaddik could have been mentioned. It didn't have to be Aaron's death. Okay, but you can answer me, but the death of any tzaddik would not have also included other criticism which Moshe Rabbeinu wants to throw in over here. He wants to criticize the Jews. He's giving them Musar before his death, so he wants to criticize them about what had just happened 6 months ago with that civil war. So he's, so to speak, putting, you know, he's putting it together. He's saying, I need to discuss the death of a tzaddik to show that the death of a tzaddik is like the breaking of the luchos. And I also want to discuss the fact that there was this terrible civil war. So this is very convenient. It works out very well. So that's what you could say. It just works out very easily to speak about Aaron's death. And the fact that going back to Egypt is, or wanting to go back to Egypt is like the worship of the Egel Hazav, it should be borne in mind this is not the only time the Jews attempted to go back to Egypt or said they wanted to go back to Egypt. It happened a few times in the wilderness. So again, why specifically this attempt to go back to Egypt is the one that is being cited in conjunction with the golden calf to show that it was, so to speak, as painful to Hashem as the golden calf. So even though Chazal answered the question, but we still can understand it a little bit more deeply, why specifically here and this and these examples. But before we do that, I want to read a little further. The top of the page, Pasuk Ches, verse 8, on page 990. Boisahi, at that time, meaning the Egel Hazav, after the golden calf, Hivdil Hashem as Shevet HaLevi. Hashem separated the tribe of Levi. Laseis es Aron Bris Hashem, to carry the ark of the covenant of Hashem. Lamod lifnei Hashem l'shar so, to stand before Hashem to serve him. Ulevarech bishmo, and to bless his name, or bless with his name, ad hayom hazeh, until this day. So because of the golden calf, the firstborn, the Bechoros, lost their right to be the Kohanim and the Levim of the Beis HaMikdash. And instead Hashem took the tribe of Levi. Now the tribe of Levi was subdivided. As you know, there are three divisions in this tribe of Levi, the three sons of Levi, Gershon, Kehas, and Merari. And then Kehas himself is subdivided further because Kehas, his grandson is Aaron and Aaron is a Kohen. So you end up really with three divisions of Levim. You have from the higher level to the lowest level, you have the Kohanim. Then you have the rest of Kehas, which are considered to be a higher level than the other Levim. And then the rest of the Levim. So there are subdivisions within the tribe of Levi, but the entire tribe of Levi was separated from the Jewish people as those who would serve in the Beis HaMikdash in one capacity or other, either as Levim or as Kohanim. And because of that, the Pasuk tells us, well, before I read further, just so you understand, so carrying the Aron, that was done by the branch of Kehas, but not Kohanim. That was done by Levim, of Kehas, to stand before Hashem and to serve Him, that could apply both to Levim and Kohanim. The Levim also served. They didn't serve with Karbonos the way that Kohanim did, but they did serve in terms of their singing and also the gatekeeping. And then finally, Ulevarech Bishmo, to bless by His name. That, of course, is the Kohanim giving us the Birchas Kohanim. So the Levim were separated. The whole tribe was separated. So it says Pasuk Tes verse 9, Al kein lo haya lelevi chilek v'nachala im echav, therefore Levi did not have a portion or an inheritance with his brothers. Hashem hu nachala, so Hashem is his inheritance. Kasha diber Hashem elokechalo, like Hashem, your God, spoke to him. So Levi was separated out. Now that the Bechoros lost their ability to serve, the Levim are the only tribe that in its entirety did not worship the golden calf, meaning that all the other tribes, there were some members of their tribe that worshipped, but the Levim, the entire tribe of Levi did not worship, and therefore Hashem separated them out and made them those who would serve in the Beis HaMikdash and not have a portion in Eretz Yisrael. So what is fascinating here is that if you go back just a little bit when discussing the tragedy of the golden calf, Moshe Rabbeinu says at the bottom of page 986, after discussing all the terrible things about the golden calf. So the pasuk says at the very, very bottom in pasuk chaf, verse 20, Uva Aaron hisanaf Hashem ma'od lahashmido. Aaron, Hashem became very angry with him to destroy him, to kill him, because he had participated in the golden calf. Even though his intentions were for Hashem and to prevent the Jews from being annihilated, nevertheless, he did participate in the golden calf, and because of that, he was going to be killed. Top of page 988, I also davened on behalf of Aaron at that time. We explained when we read this that Aaron, because of his role in the golden calf, really deserved that all his children should die, all four of his children. But because Moshe Rabbeinu davened on his behalf, only two of his children were killed, the other two lived. So Nadav and Avihu died, and Elazar and Isamar lived. So we therefore have an interesting thing over here. On the one hand, Aaron is considered to be someone blamed, partially, for the golden calf. Of course, he didn't do so with intention to sin, but a person of his stature, he is considered to have participated in the golden calf, and therefore, therefore Hashem wanted to destroy his children, but Moshe Rabbeinu Davin saved two of them. That's one side of the coin. But the other side of the coin is that the tribe of Levi, and Aaron is the greatest of the tribe of Levi, was separated out because of the golden calf, and were considered to be those who did not serve the golden calf, and therefore they take over for the Bechoros. Now I ask you, is Aaron a participant in the golden calf, or he's not a participant in the golden calf? If he's a participant in the golden calf, and that's why Hashem wanted to wipe out his children, then how can you tell me the entire tribe of Levi did not serve the golden calf? And if you tell me that he's not a participant in the golden calf, then how come he deserved that his children be killed? So Aaron's part of Levi as well. So it seems to be self-contradictory. Where do you place, you say, Aaron, Hashem wanted to kill him because of what happened. The entire tribe of Levi didn't sin. Therefore, they were chosen to replace the Bechoros. Aaron is also part of the tribe of Levi. And then we end up with that Aaron's death is compared to the breaking of the Luchos to teach us that the death of a tzaddik is like the breaking of the Luchos. The breaking of the Luchos only occurred because of Aaron, because he helped build the golden calf. So why should his death, well, how can you tell me it's as bad as the golden calf? He is, I would never say this, but the Torah says this. He is to blame for the golden calf. I don't mean to say chas v'shalom that he wanted a golden calf, but he participated. And Hashem held him to a very, very high standard and was prepared to kill all his children for his role in the golden calf. So then what? Then we're going to say that, oh, but the death of Aaron is as bad as the loss of the golden calf. I thought Aaron was a participant in the golden calf. And then we turn around and say, more than that, that there was a terrible civil war following Aaron's death, which caused all kinds of terrible calamity and tragedy among the Jewish people. So they eulogized them all over again to understand how bad it was to lose Aaron, and that the Jews ran back to Egypt because of the loss of Aaron. Again, is Aaron good or is Aaron bad? Of course Aaron is good. I don't mean to say it that way. What I mean to say is, the overall influence of Aaron, is it positive or negative? It seems the way the Torah is saying it, that the Jews ran back to Egypt because they lost Aaron. Therefore, they lost their protection. They lost the clouds of glory. They got scared. They were attacked by Amalek. So they run back to Egypt. That means Aaron was affording the Jews a measure of protection. But I thought that Aaron was a participant in the golden calf. It becomes very, very difficult to understand how this goes. Now, we all know, of course, that Aaron was a great tzaddik. And therefore, the answer doesn't have to justify all the good things about Aaron. It has to justify the bad things about Aaron. Because the good things, we anticipate the good things. Really, Aaron was a huge tzaddik. Aaron was the one through whom we had the clouds of glory and we had protection. When he died, the clouds disappeared. We got scared. And we eulogized them all over again because of the civil war. And we understood we had really lost a tremendous tzaddik. Aaron and his tribe are chosen to be the those who are going to serve in the Beis HaMikdash because the firstborn lost the privilege. So Aaron is overall considered to be a great tzaddik and we mourn his loss. But at the same time, he's also blamed for the golden calf, at least partially, even though it's on his level. So how do we understand all of that? Now it should be noted that Chazal say, and I've mentioned this to you before, that it is not contradictory for the Torah to speak about a person's great accomplishments and great piety and righteousness in the same breath that it speaks about a mistake that he made or a sin that he committed. That's not contradictory because people do that. We know that. We know that. Human beings do that. Human beings can be at the same time extremely pious and still not perfect and still do things wrong. I'm not talking someone who is not sincerely pious. Someone who sincerely is, a sincerely righteous person, a tzaddik, could still make mistakes and does make mistakes. And that's not something which we consider shocking when we think about ourselves doing it. We tend not to give the benefit of the doubt to other people when we hear about it. And to us, it's shocking. We question just how great of a tzaddik is this person if the person also did something wrong. We tend to be harsh in that way. But when it happens to us, ourselves, we give ourselves a pass. And because we understand when it comes to ourselves that it is human nature, that we might actually excel in some areas of righteousness and at the same time be inconsistent and falling down on the job when it comes to another area. So that in itself is not shocking that you could have a person who does both. Yes.
Couldn't it be that because Aharon participated in it, that's part of the reason that Moshe broke, because he saw that, or maybe he saw the participation and he kind of broke. And Hashem's heart broke because he, Aharon also. So that's why it compares it to the Luchot breaking, because maybe Hashem was hurting that Aharon participated in it.
Okay. So you're suggesting that Aharon's participation was terribly painful to Hashem because he was such a great tzaddik.
Right.
And that's why he ordered that the luchos be broken. Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchos. Moshe Rabbeinu understood that's what Hashem wanted him to do. And Hashem was prepared to kill Aaron's children. Moshe davened and saved them. But still, the fact is that Aaron, when we say the death of a tzaddik, so the sinning of a tzaddik is like the death of a tzaddik. You have such a great person, and he sins, so that is, so to speak, very painful to Hashem. And it is like the breaking of the luchos, the breaking of the luchos themselves is a result of that.
Right.
Okay.
And the death of a tzaddik is painful to us.
And the death of a tzaddik is painful to us, yeah. Right. As well as kibiyachol, so to speak, to Hashem. Right. Okay, so that really does put it all together in a very clear way, the way you just said it. And I'm going to really use that approach, but I just want to flesh it out a little bit more than that. But I agree with your general approach. The Aaron's participation in the golden calf, which we discussed at the time when we studied the golden calf, which was already a number of years ago, but when Aaron participated in it, Aaron was not, his motivation in having participated in the golden calf was not to worship, God forbid, the golden calf. Aaron's participation was in order to save the Jewish people. Because Aaron, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Sanhedrin, that Aaron saw that Hur was killed. Hur is Miriam's son, his nephew, And when Moshe Rabbeinu went up the mountain to get the Luchos, he told the people, Hine Aaron v'chur imachem, Aaron and Chur are with you. Anybody who has any issues, speak to Aaron and to Chur. They can handle whatever your issues are. When they attempted to worship the golden calf, there was the golden calf, but when they attempted to worship, they wanted to create an alternative to worship. Chur tried to stop them and they killed Chur. Aaron reasoned, if I attempt to stop them, they'll kill me as well. If they kill me, I will be fine. I'll end up in Olam Haba. But if they kill me, they will not be fine. Because not only will they have killed Chur, which is bad enough, but they'll have killed me and I'm at a higher level, and then they really will have no way of redemption. They will be completely decimated by Hashem for such a terrible sin. So in order to protect the Jewish people from themselves, Aaron participated in the golden calf. Now, the way he participated was one in which he was hoping would stall for time. First of all, Aaron ordered that he asked for all the gold. As we know, when he asked for all the gold, he was hoping that he told the people, go take the gold from your wives and your children. He was hoping that the wives and children would resist the men and not want their gold used. And he was right. But the problem is the men found their own gold and contributed that to the golden calf. Aaron threw it into the fire with no intention of creating a golden calf, but as we mentioned last time, there were one of two things happened. Either the Erev Rav, the Egyptians who tagged along, either they used witchcraft to turn the gold into a golden calf, or Micha, who was the false prophet, Micha had gotten a hold of the piece of metal that Moshe Rabbeinu had used to bring up the bones of Yosef from the bottom of the Nile River, and the piece of metal said, Alei Shor, rise up, bull, since Yosef is compared to a shore, to a bull, and it had Hashem's name written on it, and Micha got a hold of that piece of metal, and then he threw it into the fire after the gold was thrown into the fire, and it said, arise bull, so a calf, which is a baby bull, came out of the fire. And that's the other way that it happened. So Aaron was not anticipating that. He wasn't planning on there being any kind of actual golden calf. He was trying to stall. Even after the calf came out, Aaron would have fought the whole notion to worship it, except that Hashem gave it life. And not life in the sense that it was a fully animated calf, but the pasuk says it grazed. It actually ate grass. It grazed this golden calf. So when Aaron saw that, he saw that it was given chius, it was given life, Aaron said, there is no way that I can stop them. They are for sure going to worship. And because of that, Aaron reasoned, then the thing for me to do is stall. Stall as much as possible. And therefore he said, we're going to build an altar. If you're going to worship, you need an altar. However, no one else should build this altar. Only I should build the altar. Because I am the Kohen. To build an altar properly, it needs to be built by the right person. And I am the right person. None of you are fit to build an altar to God. I am. So I will build the altar. So he built it. Slowly. One painstaking stone after another. Slowly, just trying to stall for time. Hoping that Moshe Rabbeinu would come down the mountain. When he finished, it was very, very late already, and therefore he proclaimed, Chag LaHashem Machar, there will be a celebration to Hashem tomorrow. He was hoping people would go to sleep, they would sleep in a little bit, and by the time they got up, Moshe Rabbeinu would come down the mountain, and everything would be fine. The problem is that they got up early, because they wanted to worship. And by the time Moshe Rabbeinu came down, which was not until the middle of the day, it was already too late. So when you say that, when we say that Aaron was a participant in the golden calf, Aaron was a participant, but that's a little harsh. He was a participant in order to prevent the golden calf. He tried to prevent them from there ever being a golden calf, and once there was one, he tried to prevent it from being worshipped. And yet, Aaron is taken to task by Hashem. It's very difficult to answer the question of what Aaron should have done. What should he have done? He couldn't have done either way. He couldn't have not participated, because then they would have killed him, and as Aaron says, then there'll never be any redemption for the Jewish people, because they'll be so liable for having killed me, not only Hur. So, he couldn't have not participated in the golden calf. Yet, his participation means that Hashem says, I want to destroy all his children, which means Hashem wouldn't do that unless he deserves it. So that means Hashem is saying that he should not have participated in the golden calf. Well, which one is it? Should he or shouldn't he? We are not going to answer that question tonight because I don't know, have a very good answer to the question. What I mean to say is, the answer is both. The answer is that he needed to stop the Jews, but he also needed not to participate in the golden calf. How would that have been possible? I do not know the answer to the question. But Hashem does not hold a person accountable for something that they could not have figured out themselves. Hashem does not hold us accountable for something that there's no way we could have known. There's no way we could have prevented it. Hashem only holds us accountable for things that we, on our lowly madrega, our lowly level, can anticipate, can deal with, can prevent. Aaron, on his lofty, lofty level, was held to an incredibly high standard. HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaktik im chasidov kechut hasayra. Hashem is exacting with his righteous ones, like the chut hasayra, like a hair's breadth. When my wife used to teach 7th grade back in Baltimore, she frequently got the question. She used to teach Sefer Shmuel, and in Sefer Shmuel we find this idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaktik im chasidov kechut hasayra, that Hashem is very exacting with the very righteous, like a hair's breadth, even a slight infraction, they get punished very, very harshly. And that comes up several times in Shmuel. And it, more than once, she had a student, a middle schooler, say to her, then why would I want to be a tzaddik? Why would I want to be so perfect? I'd rather be average. If I'm average, then Hashem won't be so exacting with me. If I'm so great, if I reach great heights of perfection, then Hashem will be very, very exacting against me. And I wouldn't want that. That's a common question that people ask about this. It seems like it's a deterrent. Who would want to be on that level? But the answer is missing the entire, the answer is that we, that to say that is missing the entire perspective on what punishment is meant to do and what it's all about. The Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Weinberg, Zichrono Livracha, who you mentioned before, used to say that the Gemara tells us that Hashem created, was Allah b'machshava. Hashem's original plan was that the world be created b'midas hadin, with the attribute of justice. But Hashem saw that the world would never survive. Shataf imo midas harachamim. So he added the character trait of mercy. We all need mercy. We can't live unjust judgment. We would never make it. Way too difficult for us. But the Rashiva used to explain, if a person is capable of living on pure din, on pure justice, their madrega, their level is far loftier than someone who needs rachamim, who needs mercy. We all, of course, need rachamim, and we wouldn't want it any other way because we wouldn't survive. But those very, very rare individuals who can actually live with pure din, with pure justice, without rachamim, without mercy, their level, which means their closeness to Hashem, is so much greater. it's not merely they're closer to Hashem. It's a difference in kind. It has the comparison that one cannot compare at all the person who's able to live with just pure din and the person, most people, who require rachem and require mercy to live. Aaron was not just a tzaddik. Aaron was not just a great person. Aaron was on the level of living with pure din. That's how great Aaron was. And what made Aaron so incredibly special was that even though he lived his life with that exacting standard, with that standard of living his life with pure justice, holding himself to the highest of standards with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he himself, when dealing with other people, was the Ohev Shalom Verodev Shalom, and he was the one who was Mekarev Es Habrios. He brought people closer to Hashem. He was the one who was not judgmental of other people. He was the one who was full of shalom, full of peace, the one who everybody related to. He brought shalom between people. He brought shalom between husband and wife. He was the one who was the one who was full of love for other people. That's what Aaron stood for. Ohev shalom verodev shalom. That's not usually the personality you associate with the one who lives their life with justice and rigidity and holding themselves to incredibly high standards. Those two usually don't go together. Usually that person who lives their life in a rigid manner is the person you don't want to schmooze with at Kiddush. Right? That's not the person you want to hang out with. Aaron wasn't like that. Aaron held himself at an incredibly high standard, but at the same time, not that he would schmooze at Kiddush, but if he would, you would want to schmooze with him. Because he was a person that was, he was warm. He was a person that you wanted to be with. He was a person who you wanted to talk to. He was a person who you wanted to live up to. When he was trying to make shalom, you're in a bad place with another person, and he came to make shalom. Everybody wanted to live up to him. Everybody wanted to. Everybody wanted his approval because he was a person who was full of love. And so that was Aaron. Aaron was an incredible person in that he held himself to such a standard, but with other people, it was shalom, it was love, it was ahava. There wasn't that judgmental. He wasn't judgmental of other people. Really, an incredible, incredible thing. Aaron was held accountable on his level for what he did at the golden calf. Again, you can ask me, what should he have done? I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know what he should have done, how he could have somehow walked that tightrope any better in a way that he would have somehow not encouraged the golden calf, but at the same time not gotten himself killed by the people. How he could have walked that tightrope, I don't know what he should have done. I don't know. But he would not have been held accountable if he couldn't have done better. Hashem held him to an incredibly high standard that he could have done better. What would that have been? I have no idea. But he was a hair's breadth off. Because Hashem is exacting with those types of people the level of a hair's breadth. He was so close, but he was a little off. What it was, I have no idea. We certainly could not have done better than he did. But whatever it was, there was something that was amiss, and Hashem therefore punished Aaron for the golden calf. At the same time, there, as we've just described, finding an Aaron in the world is something which is a once, not just once in a lifetime, it's a once in creation. To have a man like Aaron, a person like Aaron, walking the face of the earth, one of the greatest people to ever live, that was Aaron. When he dies, it is devastating to lose Aaron. Aaron, because of him, we were protected from enemies, from all the enemies, because of one person, because of Aaron. we had these clouds. These clouds not only protected us from the enemies, these clouds gave us a life of luxury in the middle of a barren and forbidding wilderness, an unforgiving wilderness. These clouds gave us climate control. It was pleasant all day and all night. It was pleasant. It wasn't too hot. It wasn't too cold. These clouds had our clothing, kept our clothing fresh, kept our clothing from wearing out all those years. It kept everything nice as if your clothing had just come back from the cleaners all the time. That's what it was like. The clouds also paved the way. The walking in this barren wilderness was not difficult. It was as if it was a paved road. It was easy. It was flat. It was smooth. There were no predators. There were no snakes. There were no scorpions. All taken care of by these clouds. All of this was in the merit of one person and one person only. And that was Aaron. Because of him. That's how great he was. When he died, it was devastating. We lost one of the greatest people to ever exist. So when it happened, the clouds disappeared, and that way we understood what we had lost. And the Amalekim, who are always there to take advantage of these sorts of things, attacked. We got scared, and we said we want to run back to Egypt. And Hashem says this is like the golden, it's like the golden calf. The loss of Aaron is like the breaking of the Luchos, and running back to Egypt is like the loss, is like the golden calf. Why is that? What is the connection over there? The Luchos were meant to be that which was the solidifying of the covenant between us and Hashem. He had already appeared to us and given us the Ten Commandments verbally. Now we were going to get those tablets, which were going to be the bris, the covenant, with us. Who's the one who stands for covenant? Who's the one who stands for connection? Who's the one who stands for shalom between people? Shalom between us and Hashem. Between parents and children. Between spouses. Between neighbors and friends. Between us and Hashem. That's Aaron. That's why Aaron is the Kohen Gadol, because he's the one who connects us to Hashem through his service. That's what he stands for. The breaking of the Luchos is a separation, so to speak, between us and Hashem. It creates a lack of shalom. There's a pirud. There is a breaking apart, a separating between us and Hashem. The loss of Aaron is, even though it's true that the loss of any tzaddik is like the loss of the Luchos, but Aaron more so than any other tzaddik. Because Aaron stands for this connection between people, between us and Hashem. The things that should be connected are connected. That's what Aaron stands for. Bringing people together, bringing us to Hashem. And so his loss is like the breaking of the Luchos. The golden calf was a betrayal. The golden calf was a betrayal. We had just, the Chazal compare it to a kala, a bride, who is unfaithful while still under the chuppah. That's what they compare it to. That here we had just had our chasana with Hashem, and within 40 days, we were unfaithful. That's what it's like. So the running back to Egypt, because of the loss of Aaron, that running away from Hashem is that being unfaithful. It's saying we can't survive anymore. We were only protected because of Aaron, and now we don't have Aaron. We must go back to Egypt. Hashem says, "What do you mean? You don't have Aaron?" Aaron isn't the one you're connected to. I'm the one you're connected to. Aaron is perhaps the bridge, the one who connected us. But I'm the one you're connected to. Losing Aaron doesn't leave you vulnerable. I'm the one who's protecting you. When we committed the golden calf. Why did we do it? Because we thought we lost Moshe. And that's what the Erev Rav said to us. Moshe is gone. You need something else. Hashem says, Moshe is not the reason why you're connected. You're connected because of me. Moshe might have been the bridge, but I'm the one you're connected to. Yes, you can have great human beings who are great leaders. Moshe's a great leader. Aaron's a great leader. Miriam's a great leader. You have great leadership, and that's wonderful and terrific. But at the end of the day, it's me you're connected to. The leaders are only a means to an end. They're not the end in and of themselves. I'm the end, says Hashem. So when we turned our backs on Hashem because we thought we lost Moshe Rabbeinu, and here we turn our backs on Hashem because we lost Aaron. And therefore, it's the same idea. And Hashem says, it's the same thing. You repeated the same sin. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the people. You repeated the same sin. That which happened 40 years ago with the golden calf, when you ran away because of Aaron's death, you did it again. You didn't take the lesson that the leader is wonderful and great, but the leader is not indispensable. Your relationship with Hashem is indispensable. The leader is not indispensable. And as difficult and as painful it is to lose the leader, but it is not the end of the world. And you have to stick with Hashem. And therefore, the two things are connected, and that's why this Musar, this criticism, is brought over here. I want to make sure we finish the paragraph before we end today, so I want to go a little bit further. Oh, and I'm sorry, I mentioned one last thing, because I want to finish this thought as well. The Levim are therefore chosen after the golden calf. Because again, we said, what about Aaron? Wasn't he also involved? What do you mean the Levim didn't worship the golden calf? What about Aaron? The answer is, Aaron didn't worship the golden calf. Of course he didn't. Aaron, in his trying to walk that very difficult tightrope, was slightly off. But of course he didn't worship the golden calf. And of course, who better than the Levim, represented by Moshe and Aaron, who better than them to lead us and to be the ones to be working in the Beis HaMikdash once the Bechoros lost the ability to do so. Pasuk Yud, verse 10, as we finish this paragraph on page 990, V'onochi amadati v'har, and I stood on the mountain, kayamim harishonim, like the first days, Arboim Yom va'Arboim Laila, 40 days and 40 nights. This is the third set of 40 days and 40 nights. We had the first set when he brought down the first set of Luchos and then broke them. We had the second set where he davened for us, and that was, remember the first set, he didn't even drink because he was like a malach. He was like an angel and getting the Torah. The second set, he didn't eat or drink out of pain because he was praying for us and davening for us that we shouldn't be destroyed. Here again, he is up there for 40 days and 40 nights, but this is to get the second set of luchos. Vayishma Hashem Eilai gam bapam ahi, Hashem listened to me also that time. Lo ava Hashem ashchisecha, Hashem did not destroy you, and which means that he actually forgave us because Moshe Rabbeinu came down on Yom Kippur that third time. Vayomer Hashem Eilai, Hashem said to me, kum lech lemasa lifnei ha'am, go for your travels in front of the nation, v'yavo v'yirshu es ha'aretz, they will come and they will conquer the land, asher nishbati lavosam lasteis lahem, that I swore to their ancestors to give to them. And so we conclude the recap of the golden calf. We are not done, of course, with Moshe Rabbeinu's Musar that he's delivering at the end of his life. We'll continue with that, Mirtz Hashem, in the next paragraph. But this is where the golden calf recap it ends, and we've added some things that perhaps we weren't aware of when we heard it and studied it the first time.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.